back at WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Some point I'm going to get a Jennings burger before I roll out of Jennings. We are in Catonsville, just near Paradise. We'll be at State Fair again next week. And, of course, back down at Fadley's at Lexington Market. If you missed our Martin O'Malley chat, make sure you're checking that out. We are into segment number two with my fellow Ravens. We're licking our purple wounds together today out here in Catonsville. Don Mohler, former Baltimore County Executive and former Senator. Bobby Zirka, how do you deal with the former senator part? Is that weird?
I know it feels great.
Well, let's talk about that, Bobby. You're one of the few. I can't talk about it without relating it somewhat to what's happening on a national level with particularly Republican lawmakers in Congress and folks having trouble understanding it. And I say, you have to understand, having been at this for a long time, in government for a long time, for most people, they can't envision a life outside of elective office. So if their polls in their gerrymandered districts are showing them that Donald Trump has a 90% approval rating, it's very difficult for them to step outside of that. Now, the point, I'm not asking you to react to that. The point I'm making is that you're a young guy. You went down to Annapolis in 1998,
That's right.
You went to the House.
And you thought this was going to be your life?
I don't really know.
Why did you run at the time?
I mean,
Bobby,
to be honest, I thought I was going to, I was waiting for my call from an NBA franchise, but the call did not come. But
how tall are you?
Five.
Well, Muggsy did it.
I played ball with Muggsy this year.
Did you school him up?
I don't know. I'm not sure he was trying that much, but Bob Wade was there. It was this year. It was actually my mom passed in June, and that week I got a phone call from Muggsy Bogues. Nathaniel McFadden was his principal back in middle school, and so long story short, got to Muggsy, who was coming up for some event. And he gave me a call at the end of the week and said, I heard about your mom. I'm so sorry. And it was really it was amazing. He's my childhood idol. And long story short, he invited me to come play a little one-on-one with him.
Of course you did.
Which, of course, you kidding me? I put my shoes on immediately.
How old are you and how old is he? I'm trying to get.
I'm 48. I think he's a couple years
older than me.
Yeah, he's a little older. He may be 53. Yeah, I think that's right. The guy who was around my age from Dunbar was Sam Cassell.
Cassell's younger than me.
Right, Sam Cassell was my year.
Well, you, in a number of things that you wrote, and you wrote really heartfelt, I think, farewells to the people in your district, to those close to you, and you referenced
Muggsy 55.
55.
You referenced.
Well, I schooled him.
you referenced, and Nestor's been through it, so many of us have been through it, the tough aspect of losing your mom, Barbara, after a fight with cancer, and maybe talk a little bit about seeing that through a son's eyes and the role that played in that life moment played in the decision that you made. Because I know your family's incredibly close.
Yeah, that was very challenging. Yes. I mean, my family is within, have always been within 5 minutes of each other. So even in college, I went to Hopkins, so I didn't go that far down. My mom and dad would come and grab my laundry every once in a while. I mean, it was is very hard for my family. And it definitely, I was going through the last couple sessions dealing with that at the same time, which was very hard, not just hard on me, but hard obviously on my father and my mom and my kids.
And your kids are kids.
My kids are kids.
They're 12 and 10 now.
Right,
literally.
And so, how did it affect me? It reminded me, not that I needed it, but it really put into, a stark reminder that there are lots of other things besides politics and work and all the rest. And quite frankly, I would always drive back and forth from Annapolis every day so I could be with my kids. But during session, that meant I would see them very quickly in the morning before they went to school or when I had to run to Annapolis. And then these late, these things that everyone's like, oh my God, I can't believe that these U.S. senators are spending so much time. That was every night for us, right? We were till midnight every night. I mean, I know they're a lot older than us, they're not used to working so hard. But but in Annapolis, we did. Every night we were there till 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. So that was very hard. I didn't like leaving my kids or my wife, and I didn't love going down there during those sessions. It was a hard drive, physically. Just it was part of the conversation when I decided that I had was time to take a break from politics.
How much of it, Bobby, and again, for those of you listening, we're with former Senator Bobby Zirkin, head of Zirkin and Schmerling.
Schmerling. Rolls right off the tongue.
Zirkin and Schmerling, and has an exciting new endeavor we'll be talking about a little bit. It has to do with charitable endeavors with professional athletes. But going back to your decision to walk away, you've got the passing of your mom, you got your daughters at this pivotal age. There were other things written, Bobby, that indicated that you had just gotten sort of tired of it, that the partisan, it wasn't, Annapolis in 2018 wasn't the Annapolis that you knew in 1998, and that it was taking its toll. How, accurate, inaccurate, talk us through that.
It is definitely accurate to say that Annapolis in 2018 and politics in 2018 is nowhere. It doesn't bear any resemblance to the political world that I walked into. I hate to sound like the old guy, but
no.
Is that because of money?
No, it's
okay.
Not.
All right.
There's a lot of factors. If I had to say one of them, I would say social media, and which has its positive aspects, right? I mean, it's great that there's more awareness and there's more transparency. The problem becomes that everybody with a phone, everybody with a computer has an opinion. We all have opinions. But when you decide that you know better than everybody else and become venomous about it.
The anger
and the vitriol and the venom, it takes its toll on the people who are trying to make decisions. My first year as chair, I'll just give you a quick anecdote as to why I say social media, and it's not a good thing in politics. It really is not, in my opinion. There was a bill. We'd gotten a letter from the Attorney General's office that it was unconstitutional. Any 6-year-old would have known it was unconstitutional if you knew that you had the right to remain silent. It was just a dumb bill. So, you know, I say, anybody on the committee, you know, want to say anything about this? And Wayne Norman, who passed away during the next session, you know, had some choice words for the bill. You know, why do we have to waste time listening to this, you know, fill in the blank with whatever words you want. And he was right. I mean, and so then we start to vote, and 5 of my members voted for the bill. And as we're voting, I said, hold on a second. I asked if anybody wanted to say anything. Why are you voting for this? And one of them finally said, you know, Bobby, like, you know, there's this Facebook group, and they're tagging us, and they're tagging us, and they're da-da-da-da, Facebook. And I looked it up, and it was like 24 people.
Right.
And, yeah, they were really, I mean, obnoxious, unbelievable stuff about this moronic bill that caused 5 of my 11 members to vote for it. And I thought to myself, my God, like, that 24 people is probably two people with fake profiles causing 5 state senators to vote a certain way because they just didn't want to deal with the anger if they voted the other way. And that is dangerous, because if you are ruled by these, no offense, but I won't even
on whatever
that.
Wing
whatever
you
word you
whatever
want
the wing whatever
we
wing.
See it I mean we
and
certainly
you, and
see it.
Right, I'm sure you did, right? I mean Kevin used to get it all the
right.
time. It's like, and if you're governed by that, if you can't tune that out, then your decision-making process becomes flawed. And for me, it was fine. Like, that's not at all why I decided to leave politics. I decided to leave politics because, quite frankly...
But that's impossible, though, to not hear that if you are...
It's impossible not to hear
if you're trying to get reelected. If you're trying to get reelected. If you're trying to do your job, one term, short term, I think that's an easier play. But that's rarely the case, right?
So it depends on who you are in politics, right? For those who, like, think all about re-election, it's impossible to drown it out. Even for me, though, because, like, you know, I had thought about getting out of office for years. Like, I had mulled this over for many, many years. And so for me, when people would say, oh, I'm going to vote against you if you do fill in the blank, I'd be like, all right, listen, whatever you need, I'll help you with that endeavor. Like, I'm like, great, where can I sign up for that one? Because I'm trying to get out. I heard it, too. And so you end up spending some amount of your time having to deal with these lunatics and that you would never have heard of before you get a letter or
you
phone
should try
call.
Sports radio.
Well, we, you know,
I'm sure. No, I know. I see some of the stuff too.
You know, every year when the Ravens get eliminated, I either get a death threat or something that is threatening toward me, my wife. It happened last Saturday, 10:00. We're getting eliminated. The email inbox comes in. You know,
right?
Names, and I'm thinking to myself, I think I don't answer any of it ever.
Right.
So probably be a pretty good politician.
Well,
because
right.
I have Rex Ryan would always say, skin like an armadillo. That was all skin like.
But it is harder and harder. It's interesting as we record this, and this will be up in a couple of weeks. But as we record this, just yesterday, and I'm sure both of you read it in the paper, Baltimore County Executive John Olszewski and his police chief announced a whole series of initiatives to address crime in the county to make sure that it doesn't get out of control. It was a number of the things you spoke about in the first segment, Bobby, in making sure we enhanced recruitment, right, making sure we were always at full stock, increasing communication, using data to make decisions, or just common sense things. And I thought, this is going to be one of those times when I look at the county executive's Facebook page where there won't be any of that trolling and that you're an idiot.
Right.
We're trying to solve that crime.
Wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
I mean, the first 10 or so posts are from these trolls. And as you said, probably not even real people.
Right.
Probably fake profiles who just said, here's a Democrat with an idea. We have to blow it up.
Right.
And again, I think it goes to both sides. We had, a couple months back, we had Lena Wen on, outstanding health commissioner in the city, went on to Planned Parenthood, and she told us that when she went and tried to talk rationally about how Planned Parenthood could modify its message to reach more of the folks in middle America, to make them understand the important work that Planned Parenthood, she said she knew she was going to get beat up by the right for being pro-choice. She didn't see coming the absolute vitriol and hatred from the left, who didn't want her in any way to moderate the message.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just ugly.
So I don't even – like, it's funny because I was on a radio show and they said – it was interesting how they worded it. They said that I reject – you know, despite the fact that I reject labels that, you know, they consider me a moderate, blah, 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 blah. I like the way they said that because I do reject the label. I don't know what – right wing or left wing should have to say about crime reduction, right? There shouldn't be a right or left.
Shouldn't be
right or left answer. Everyone wants it. Just
exactly.
What can we do that actually works, right? I mean, and most of the issues you deal with in politics are like that. But unfortunately, this red team, blue team stuff for me is for the birds. Like I think it's the dumbest thing. I used to vote against if the Democratic Party quote had an idea, you know, the party had an idea. I'm not beholden to that. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party to me are nothing more than a giant special interest that are well heeled and have good Facebook pages. Like they're no different than the Sierra Club or the oil and gas industry or any other special interest. If they have a good idea, great. If they have a bad idea, then we killed it. And so that landed me in hot water with special interests that tended to vote for Democrats, because that's really the issue. The issue is not the party or a philosophy. The issue is, getting back to what you asked, who funds you and who endorses.
So I was right.
There was a part of it. But also who endorses you, right? Like you have these groups that like come out every election. They say, we endorse these candidates. And if you don't do what we tell you, we'll go with another candidate. And that's part of the problem too. So my philosophy was, I was just going to do whatever I thought was the right thing. I'm not saying that I always had the right answer, that somehow I'm smarter than anybody else, because I'm not. But I would try to figure out what the right law was and let the politics take care of itself.
Well, the
and
money's dictating the policy, not the people, right?
Sometimes. I mean, the things that we did on JPR, I just took the bills. Like, there was a bill last year, which I philosophically was for, a very complex bill, and it's back again this year, about the right to basically control your death, right? The right to die, or the death with dignity, or whatever the name of the title was, which I philosophically was for, particularly what was going on with my mom. Like, I never wanted her to have to suffer needlessly, God forbid, right? But the bill itself was a disaster, in my opinion. The bill that came over from the House, the details of it were a disaster. But the special interests that were pushing the bill demanded that we pass their version and no amendments, right, no changes. And I said, well, I think a lot, like, for example, they immunized everybody involved. So if you had somebody involved in this thing that really screwed up and caused somebody to be a paraplegic because they gave them rat poison instead of, you know, the drug that they were supposed to, they were completely immunized from this. And I said, well, that's outrageous. We don't do that for anybody. So there were details, complicated details that needed to be fixed. So we fixed them. We had about, you know, 72,000 amendments we put on their bill after they demanded we have no amendments. And for that, even though I voted for the bill, the groups that were pushing it put out the idea that somehow we had killed their bill, that we were anti whatever philosophy they were. Not at all. The details of these things really matter. And you know, if you're against, the problem is now, and you know, because you've been in politics a long time, it used to be people would really dig into the law, dig in. Now it's more about the titles, the philosophies, what people can say in Twitter about it, and not the details.
Talking points. It truly is.
Talking I mean, points. Exactly right. And, that's a better way to say
it. I'm not sure, Bobby, and again, I'm going to ask you to peel that curtain back a little bit again and talk about the pressure in Annapolis. I'm not sure how we move beyond this partisanship that has developed. I mean, we look almost romantically back at the Reagan, Tip O'Neill era, where we're all friends after 6 o'clock.
Well, you're all Americans. We're all Marylanders. We're all Baltimoreans.
That's right.
You know? Where we roll our sleeves up. The anger, and your word, I loved your word, vitriol. Take us back, and again, we're sitting with former State Senator Bobby Zirkin on Baltimore Positive. Take us back down to Annapolis and to the General Assembly. Pull that curtain back. Where does the pressure, other than the interest groups, talk about party line discipline for folks. How does that play out down there on both sides of the aisle?
So that's a good question. Not as much by any stretch of the imagination as Washington. People would ask me all the time, well, when are you going to run for Congress? And I said, never, ever. I mean, I remember my friend Frank Cradaville, you know Frank?
Mm-hmm, sure, real well.
A judge now on the Eastern Shore, great guy, good ball player too. But went down to Congress.
Western Maryland and McDaniel College, but Western Maryland College at the time.
That's right.
Just at him at an event. I was just with him at an event.
Quick ball player. Good handle. Anyway, he went to Congress and he said, you know, he would vote against the party and they would, like, you know, strip him of everything he had. Because they were tempted to throw him out in the hallway. I mean, because he said that he didn't agree with something they said. I could never ever be in an environment like that. In Annapolis, it's really not like that. There were certain bills that President Miller really, and I haven't, you know, Bill Ferguson's a good friend of mine, but I haven't been down there under his leadership, so I have no idea what it's like then. Mike really gave me a lot of leeway to do, and gave people a lot of leeway to do what they thought was right. I mean, within reason, right? I mean, there were some bills where he kind of let me have it for going the other way. You know, there was one in particular. There was the paid.
How can he let you have it when you?
By letting me have it, it was yell at me.
No, what
like,
I'm saying is that this is the part that really disturbs me. Whereas anybody that lets me have it, honestly, I have two middle fingers for that because, like, it's my conscience. It's how I feel. It's the way I've interpreted. I don't know how, if you're on an equal status, to say. Dude, this is just how I feel.
But isn't there a time?
This is
Bobby,
just how
when,
I feel.
Well, like, let's.
You have to.
It's a little different. It's a little different. It's not everything's a conscience issue, right? There are varying degrees of things. Like not every.
But you do what you think is right.
Sure. But sometimes some would suggest this is why
that you
I
do
love
what you think is wrong.
No, but no, there are sometimes it's not. It's not always a clear right and wrong.
Well, every
sometimes
time I've been asked to do something, my mother told me I shouldn't do, or something
well,
I felt like
that,
I was going to regret.
It's not that simple. I want Bobby to talk about it. Sometimes. There is a sense that we have to stay together on the big picture philosophy of this issue. And if you don't stick with us, you're supporting the other side, right?
But you have to feel really strongly about Martin O'Malley and I got into it about the death penalty the other day. Not that I feel strongly one way or another, but I know he does. So
definitely does.
Right.
Which I'll tell you a story about
sure.
that. But you know, it's different. Like, I'll give you an example. There was the bill on paid sick leave, right? Which I think I was I was getting angry on the floor and I said anybody want to raise your hand and if you actually give somebody paid sick leave because you're an employer and you actually pay for it, you know, raise your hand because I do. I have, you know, 15 employees and we have paid sick leave in my small business. That doesn't mean that this bill is any good though, right? This was the bill again being pushed by SEIU and Progressive Maryland. Like they were pushing this particular version of the bill, but then which I was okay with. I was going to vote yes. And then it went into the Finance Committee at the time, and they bastardized it, right? And all these lobbyists got their, you know, like there was an exemption for the entire agricultural, you know, sector of the economy. I'm like, well, why that and not the tech sector? I mean, is there a reason for that? I wasn't in the committee. Explain that
to
me.
They had a better lobbyist?
They had a better lobbyist. And and I had some guy from my district. I mean, where I really came down is I had this one guy who owned a small business. And by small, he had lots of, quote, employees. But they were all college kids that he put out in swimming pools. And he was like the lifeguard guy. So it wasn't a small business in the classic sense that got himself exempted from this bill. So he was going to get killed. This bill, in its form, was going to put him out of business. And I said, look, you got to change this thing around. Like, just because, like, the farmers had a great lobby lobbyist doesn't mean that you should screw this poor guy, right? And I got up on the floor and I said that on the floor. I'm like, I'm not voting for this bill because of examples like that. And so what they ended up doing was putting an amendment on to get this guy out. It was basically an amendment to get rid of the pool guy so he was okay. I'm like, that wasn't really the point. How about the other guys who didn't call me? And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable with this. I like the idea of paid sick leave, but I ain't voting for this bill. Well, they had worked very hard, the unions, the this, the that. There are all these groups. There's all this politics around this thing, and it became a party line vote. I'm like, I'm breaking. Listen, I give paid sick leave, and I would vote for a bill, but not that you're not willing to accept amendments, changes to the bill that I think would make this at least palatable, make me more comfortable, that there's not some poor schlub out there that's about to lose his business. And they wouldn't take the changes to the bill. They let the pool guy out, which he was happy. But all the other guys, I'm certain that people have gotten really hurt by this because I've heard after the fact. And I voted no. And I got the living daylights beaten out of me by the groups that wanted it. Oh, Bobby's against, Zirkin is against paid sick leave. I'm like, which wasn't true. I just was against that special interest piece of crap that we put out on the floor. And I wouldn't vote for it without there being some way for somebody who didn't know that the 47 of us were sitting there, you know, debating this thing to at least say, oh, whoa, let me show you how this is going to kill me too. We didn't have that in the bill. I voted no.
If you're just down there to be arm twisted to do what the sheep are doing, then we could put anybody down there.
Yeah.
That just gives a yes vote to whatever leadership wants, right? Like, that's part of being there. That is part and part. The part is where you go home and your kids and your wife are threatened. That's a different thing, right? Well, it's social media I'm talking about, or your kids have to go to school. I think that's a different level than where it was 20 years ago, right? Is that...
It's different because the groups, like I go back to the special interests, and I go back to the special interests that aren't really all that big. Like, you got 12 people who wear, you know, multicolored shirts that come down there screaming and hollering their heads off and then go on Facebook and Twitter and beat the living daylights out of you. All of a sudden, that's a group that has some clout. You saw this, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the last couple of years.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like, they don't have any clout, right? They don't have
Info
numbers.
InfoWars has
nobody,
credibility in some circles,
that's right?
Right?
And like, so what you have are these small conglomerates of lunatics that get together in some very dark basement and, you know, get online, and the next thing you know, somehow their opinions, like, matter more than the normal people who don't do that, right? The people who aren't screaming and hollering at the top of their lungs.
I make that point all the time.
Who just expect you to do the right thing.
Bobby, I used to say all the time, and I used to make this point, and Jim Smith made it all the time. For most people in your district in Baltimore County, in the United States of America, you know what? They're trying to get up.
That's right.
Go to work. Make sure their kids are okay. Make sure their kids are getting to practice. Make sure their
right.
kids are doing homework. They don't have time to go into the basement with a bag of Cheetos and write these vitriolic
That's right.
emails.
That's right.
And we lose sight of that. Yeah,
you know,
Jim
right.
Smith used to say, Don, never forget. He said, I believe it at my core. If you do the right thing at the end of the day, the politics
it all
will
takes
always
care of
take care of itself.
That's right. I always thought that, too.
We're with Senator Bobby Zirkin. Great segment. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about his relationship with Mike Miller. We're going to talk about his new journey. We're going to talk about a recent trip to Israel. Got a lot to get to, Nestor. Where are we?
We're at Jennings, and you know, I thought we were done with, like, the Monday morning quarterbacking. Everything you're describing about passing bills reminds me of how Cam Cameron was treated on a Monday morning. You know, everybody
we're
knew
not
more
talking
about
any more Ravens. I love
Bobby. Still in mourning. We can't talk Ravens until
we can talk basketball.
Camp.
We can talk.
You
hoops.
Just went on a trip to Israel. I want to talk to you about that.
Sounds
it's going
good.
To be
That's
great.
One place I haven't been. Bobby Zirkin joining us here. We're Jennings. I had the chicken salt and boca. I would encourage everyone to get on out here, watch a game. The Terps are on the telly. We are Baltimore Positive. I'm Nestor. He's Don. We're back for more final segment with former Senator Bobby Zirkin from Jennings at Catonsville. Right after this.